Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hello there. I am a Hayden Christensen fan named Ryan Key.
So I'm talking about.
Hey, this is Mike Forster, an allergy sufferer in the Midwest, and also a fan of pretty much everything this Ahsoka show has done. And it is lovely to see you guys, because I think we all collectively, Ryan and I weren't able to be on last night, but what we did miss out on was
top tier
screeching in excitement over what we just saw yesterday. And I'd like to screech some more today.
What a time to be alive.
It's unbelievable, dude. You guys, really quickly, because this is short, give your like immediate reaction, overall feelings on the episode since you weren't with us yesterday.
Ryan.
I mean, okay, Sabine and Jason just flying in the ghost. Okay, two simultaneous lightsaber battles that then bled into a third one. Let's just have another one.
Yeah.
A head-to-head to tie it off with a bow. And the world between worlds. I mean, the ocean waves fading into the stars in the world between worlds where she was laying on the bridge.
Bro.
And then realizing, you know, as she moved her hand or whatever, before it even pulled out, I knew, like before it pulled wide to show that she was like laying on the bridge, I was like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
We're doing this. Someone pulled her in here. No chance that the thought would have even had a kernel of an existence in my mind that's who pulled her into the world between worlds. I mean, I mean, obviously yet to be seen like what actually happened, but right. Like we would assume that a portal was open and at the right exact moment that she needed saving, she was pulled into the world between worlds. And this is like, this is going down as the best Star Wars ever. It kind of is.
And for those who haven't watched Rebels, sorry about you. You're bad.
I mean, I'm still high on Afrin. I mean, Rebels.
Same. Dude, same.
I'm still buzzing from my Rebels binge. So every little piece of Den information that's related to Rebels in this show, it makes my skin just goosebumps all over. You know, I mean, I loved last night's episode so much. The lightsaber battles were freaking amazing. I've seen people complaining about how they're like not sped up, like to feel more like animation or something, you know, like that they could literally speed up the, have you guys seen that at all? People talking about how lightsaber battles seem a little slow. And
been seeing that about everything.
But then they complained about it in the prequels when Yoda and Palpatine.
Right, when it was sped up.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So
I am a fan of, as we all know, I'm a fan of taking something fantastic like Star Wars in this sci-fi, you know, make-believe world and giving it some realism, giving it a way of making it feel lived in. So having people actually fighting with lightsabers the way people can actually fight with lightsabers and not faking it doesn't bother me personally. And I thought that the choreography in the whole fight sequence, dude, Sabine, like blaster blocking with her armor and the droid fight that just popped. I just remember that. Two droids kung fu fighting, dude. What? It's so good. Anyways, Mike, go ahead. I stole it all from you.
Oh, no, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Did you like Star Wars?
Yeah, well, like Ryan said, being high on Afrin just really makes you really bring stuff in. You know what I mean? I think this episode, you know, so Disney kind of does this weird thing where they drop this clip of the night's episode earlier in the day, right? And I remember being like, oh shit. Okay. I guess we get to see, you know, Ahsoka goes out and fights, you know, Morgan's guys. And I remember being like, oh, that's probably going to be in the middle of the episode. And, you know, it was in like the first like 5 minutes of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 45 minute episode, right? So I'm already like, oh my, Ryan, same thing. Sabine comes out. I think we, you know, they're remembering and the lore of her being a Mandalorian, not only like any Mandalorian, like she's a legendary House Mandalorian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that she's got this, you know, she has all of her tricks that she's used that we saw in Rebels. So to see her use her gauntlet with the whipcord, like using the van braces to like block the bolt and the sound of it hitting the Beskar.
Yes, dude.
I'm like,
yeah,
pinging off of it.
Right. I'll just sit there and listen to that all day. I'm like, now this is a symphony.
Do you like armor?
Yeah. Have you ever made anything?
You should party about it.
You should have a show and talk about it.
But the like Rock'em Sock'em Robots was amazing. That was incredible.
Yep.
AKA Real Steel starring Hugh Jackman.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Nice one. Very nice. I think the entire episode for me, like we knew that the reveal of the ghost was coming. We got to see, you know, Brendan. Well, we're going to get into it, but obviously at this point, X-Wing pilots are opportunities for all cameos, which I loved. I love that. We'll talk about that later. But certainly this episode, we think we talked about it last night, but like I legit had no idea what was going to happen, which I feel like for Star Wars at this point, we have a general idea of where the story is going, but this one was like, is Sabine gonna turn into the dark side? I was just like, what is going on? We'll talk about it a little bit, but like there were stakes that like them, you know, basically Baylan dropping that like her whole family is gone. Like,
yep.
Dude, talk about compromise. Like,
yeah.
And was he using a Jedi mind trick? I mean, everything about that episode, all the way up to the point, you get in the world between worlds, which my friend pointed out is a lot more wet than we thought.
Yeah, it's moist there.
It is moist. It's a little damp. Yeah,
it's a damp, dark place.
But the effects of it, I'm like, I love this crystallization, mm-hmm. this almost like astral dust that's coming off. It's beautiful. So everything about this show is absolutely crushing my expectations. I think it was one of my most anticipated shows because I like when Star Wars is weird. In Filoni, we trust, and thus far, we literally have gotten everything we've needed out of Ahsoka. I mean, it's an amazing series.
So you did like the Star Wars?
I would say, all in all, was I impressed? A little, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
We should talk about it.
That I mentioned this last night. I haven't felt suspense like that in Star Wars. I haven't felt that unsure about what would happen to these characters since The Force Awakens. Like, I haven't had an, oh my God, hands on my face, I can't believe I just saw what I just saw a moment like that since Han Solo died.
Dude, spoiler
That's
alert.
One of the boldest statements I've ever said about.
I had in the bathroom that.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I had already seen it, but I heard, you know, a guy just.
Can't believe they killed Han Solo.
Taking a whiz, just talking about it in the bathroom at the movie theater.
Dude, I would get arrested in that situation. I would commit assault.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
A little bit, a light assault, but certainly an assault.
Yeah.
So scrappy.
Yeah. So scrappy. I'm a great fighter. I'm a tough guy. Lots of experience fighting.
Oh, he said snips. He said snips. Come.
Yeah.
Ah! He sure did. Whoever he is, whatever it is.
That guy. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right, but we should do some stolen plans because we do have a few things, some actors and whatnots that we want to call out. So let's do that right now.
What have you done with those plans?
Ahsoka, Part 4, Fallen Jedi. Hell of a title. Great point that Alex from Star Wars Explained made. There are four Fallen Jedi in this thing.
Yep.
You know, you've got Marak, Shin,
Balin,
Ahsoka, and
Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin Skywalker, and you can count Sabine, maybe almost Padawan, you know? Yeah. Pretty crazy. Debuted yesterday, September 5th, 2023, on Disney Plus, at the time of this recording. Written by Dave Filoni, of course, directed by Peter Ramsey, who directed Chapter 21, The Pirate, in The Mandalorian. Also directed Into the Spider-Verse.
Casual.
Not bad.
Casual.
Before that, for years, he was a storyboard artist. He's worked on a ton of big stuff. He did the funniest one. I had to put this in here. Sausage Party.
Ah, nice one.
He also did Hulk in 2003, Minority Report, AI Artificial Intelligence, Castaway, Fight Club, Independence Day, Predator 2. This dude's been working forever. So I was like, storyboard artist to director. That's a big jump. And then I thought about it like, of course, if there's anybody in a crew who knows, like, intimately the way a movie should flow and is laid out, it's a storyboard artist. It's perfect. Disney Plus description, Hera risks her career to help her friends while Ahsoka and Sabine confront enemies. Yeah, they must have gotten marks out or whatever.
That's a little bit upgraded.
Yeah.
Anakin Skywalker's coming back. Let's get the staff coming to write this one.
A few cast members we want to call out on this one. Evan Witten is the name of the kid who plays Jason Syndulla.
He's got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. He played young Elliot in Mr. Robot.
Oh.
Pretty cool. Flashback, I assume. Because that show I didn't finish it, but it didn't like go back in time or anything, right? Just little flashbacks.
Spoilers or no?
Don't tell me. Okay. I need to finish it.
All right.
He's also in Big Sky, which is a pretty popular show, as far as I've heard. Paul Sun Young Lee returns as Captain Carson Teva. Paul Darnell, turns out, is the dude in the suit playing Marak. He's a veteran stunt performer. I mean, he's done a ton of stuff as well. Jurassic World, The Matrix Resurrections, the recent one. Spider-Man Far From Home. He was the Nightwind assassin in The Book of Boba Fett. And Timothy Oliphant's stunt double in Mando.
Oh.
So he's in the family all over the place. And, of course, returning, as we've already mentioned, Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker with a 41-minute runtime for this episode.
Just take a moment to realize that what you just said out loud, you said out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's back. I mean, he was back, but he's back.
It's just another level, like the Anakin and Obi-Wan thing.
He's going to be in the movie.
Oh,
he's
going to
be in the Filoni movie. That's going
to
be his, like, real return to, like, the whole... like bringing himself back to, I think, genuinely playing a role in a film, and like that, I think he's going to be in the film in a big way.
I love that he, of all the actors that have ever been interviewed about their participation in Star Wars, he has the worst poker face, the biggest shit-eating grin. Like I can't really speak on that.
And it's a bad answer too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, can we expect to see you in Ahsoka, Hayden? He's like, I guess we'll have to wait and see. You're like, oh, all right. See you there.
I can't say yes.
Contractually, I'm not allowed to say yes or no, but I'm not saying no, so.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Tips us off.
All right, let's discuss some more. I've been imagining these, like, double episode coverage things as just basically, like, Stolen Plans, Den of Antiquities, and I Love You, I Know, but there's, like, so much to talk about here that we have to get a little deeper. Let's see. We did mention this, but I want to hear what you guys think. Marak, when Ahsoka kills him, green dust comes flying out of the wound, right?
Yeah.
Like, rapidly. And then he like, violently falls to the ground. So this makes it pretty evident that this is, like...
Magics,
yeah. So Morgan Elsbeth had put someone under a spell, just like, you know, Savage was in the Clone Wars. But they can also bring people back from the dead with this. So is this like a fallen Jedi, you know, literally a dead one? Is this someone else? was this just an inquisitor who maybe was an ally or an asset that, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you have thoughts? Have you heard rumors?
Oh boy.
In the Twitter sphere?
I mean, I wouldn't have, you know, gone seeking out a theory, a fan theory about that within 24 hours, but I think it's safe to say that it's deliberate, whatever it is, right? A deliberate choice that has purpose and meaning. So whatever, is it like a huge piece of the puzzle here, or is it just a cool little factoid? You know, who knows?
I mean, let's also go back to the fact that there's a lot of people who don't know, if you didn't watch animation, Night Sister as a term could either be a successful sect of women who worked the night shift, or a group of nuns that particularly came out after night. We don't know, but
Ladies of the Night.
Ladies of the Night. I think there could be something in there that is providing a little bit of exposition to people who are getting caught up on Morgan Elsbeth, the green dust, the green flame. That was pretty prevalent in this episode, and I think it's to draw the connection for people that didn't watch animation that Night Sister magic is something you cannot take lightly. And if it has the power for necromancy, if it has the power to do all of these things, which Balin looks up after, you know, the map shows the way, and he just looks up and he's like, you know, witchcraft, right?
Right.
So it's shown on display at how important magic is from the Night Sisters, because they're force wielders. They have the ability to be able to manipulate things just like the dark, the good and the bad. So I think I would hate to know that like Merrick was Merrick, or however we pronounce it, would just be cannon fodder like that. But I think it was also as a tool to show how powerful their abilities are, because I think it's going to become very evident at why Morgan Elsbeth is connected to Thrawn and what that could bring for the future of the series. So it could have just been a little bit of like, if you didn't watch animation, you don't get it. So we're going to try to do something really cool to bring you up to speed on it. But certainly reviving people who have been dead. Ryan and I played Fallen Order. There's a whole part of the map on Zabrak, where Dothmir, that you're like, get me out of here, because these beings are terrifying and they're beyond a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I would say could be both.
I think your point about it being just to display her power is pretty solid.
Thank you, Adam.
I don't
so
think
much.
That you think that the green color was the right, you know, I mean, in animation, I feel like it's always phosphorescent. It's like neon green.
Yeah.
Right. And I felt like, correct me if I'm wrong, I did a watch and tried, I started to rewatch today, but I only got halfway through and I didn't make it to that point. Or I only got a few minutes in and didn't get to that point. But the green smoke comes out of his body from the wound, to me seemed like a little more muted, you know, and like almost like an army green color, like a khaki green sort of vibe. So
it wasn't ooze from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it wasn't like it didn't get, my point is only that it didn't do the Night Sister like spirit leaving your body, fluorescent green glowing thing that I think is exclusive to when they're doing magic.
Right.
There's always that illuminated green substance, you know, in the air. So I don't know.
I would bet that's just a design choice.
Yeah.
You know,
that's kind of what I was getting at is, was it that?
Yeah. All right. Really quickly, because Nick and I talked about this pretty extensively yesterday, Ahsoka versus Balin, there's this conversation before and during the fight. He says a few things. One must destroy in order to create. So he's got this grand plan. He doesn't seem too interested specifically in what Thrawn's doing, but more like a larger plan. And he says to Ahsoka, your legacy, like your master's, is one of death and destruction. Her legacy, don't understand that. I mean, she walked away from the Jedi. So if his thing is with the Jedi, that doesn't line up. That's confusing.
Yeah, but I do think I didn't read past that being just connected to the theme that we've now established of the hubris of the Jedi. Like that's what I took from that comment, was just like,
but he knows she left. He says, you know, you walked away from your master, or he says that to Sabine, maybe, But then he also says, it didn't have to come to this, but you know no other way. Like, he didn't want to fight her. You know what I mean? There's like a really interesting dynamic.
Well, think of everything she's been involved in. Think of going back to, like, she literally was part of the fall of the Jedi Order. She left, but she was still a part of it.
Yeah.
She was helping, I mean, as a fulcrum agent, helping, you know, the idea of, like, you know, there are innocent people on the Death Star when it blew up. And it's like, well, you know, and what she was doing was certainly, it's justification for whatever side you're on, right? So,
yeah,
he's not technically wrong. What's ironic about, or it's not ironic, that's the wrong word, but what's interesting about Baylan's perspective, too, is isn't that what Yoda did in The Last Jedi?
What do you mean?
Luke says the sacred texts.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yoda intentionally lights the wisdom tree with the books in it, which, of course, we think they're in it. But Yoda
Yoda knew they weren't in there.
You're right. But what I'm saying is, like, to show Luke that, like, you're only going to carry on a legacy that was tainted.
Right. Yeah.
By teaching her. You know what I mean? So, like, in a way.
I also think every time that anyone, you know, on the dark side has referred to her. Yeah, they maybe say former, but they say Jedi every time. Former Jedi, Ahsoka Tano. That's how she's referred to. She's never not associated with being a Jedi, former or otherwise. Like, it's just they do call her a Jedi.
Yeah,
often.
There's
another. Hang on, one more thing that's interesting. Our friend Brooke McDonald she sent me something when she was rewatching it. The legacy of death and destruction, which is interesting, is her leaving Anakin Skywalker to turn into Darth Vader.
That is really poignant. That makes a lot of sense.
As in, like, he was one of the only people you trusted, that trusted you. And because he left and you didn't go after him, you didn't stop him.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because she could have killed him on Malachor and she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And what did he go on to continue to do?
Dude. Okay, so this supports the point that I was about to make as well, that she's tried so hard to not let attachment and all of the things that were wrong with the Jedi cloud her path, that everything about this point in her life feels like an overcorrection.
Sure.
You know, like, having left Sabine, your family died on Mandalore because your master didn't trust you.
Oof.
To me, that suggests that as she was training her, it was a similar fork in the road that Luke faced when Yoda didn't want him to leave Dagobah to go save his friends in The Empire Strikes Back because of the temptation, because he wasn't ready. It seems like it's got to be exactly that kind of thing. Like, this is happening on Mandalore, the Night of a Thousand Tears, the Purge and all this stuff, and she's like, you can't go, you're not ready, right?
Also, think about the word legacy. It doesn't mean it was something you chose necessarily or something you deliberately did, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's where this conversation between the three of us started. Your legacy can be whatever is left in your wake based on the decisions you've made. So the idea that she protected Anakin even after he was Darth Vader, that would, the death and destruction he caused.
Bro, yes.
Dang.
That's good.
Would continue to be her legacy.
That was good, Brooke.
You know,
that was
because good. A legacy is just what you leave behind. So, a lack of action can create a legacy just as much as taking action can.
Right.
Silence is violence. Yeah, oh, that's good. That's really good.
Ooh, baby.
Okay, while we're on Sabine and all of this, just I'm taking a poll. This is what I thought. People agreed in Discord last night. Nick agreed. Did Sabine use the Force, even if it was just a little when she reached out? Did you hear it? Did you hear the sound?
I think her relying on her Mandalorian ways to shoot the whipcord or to shoot the, like, her own version of the the darts, the whistling birds. I think that was just, it was to show, like, here comes the fake out, but remember, she's Mandalorian, she's got this. The Mandalorian been fighting Jedi forever. This is what they do. So
you didn't hear it?
I heard it, but I'm like, oh, cool. But for me, I'm like,
because she does the hand first.
I don't think I heard it either, but was it like, it was like a low sort of,
it's
subby
that bass
sound,
and it,
like,
comes up at the release, yeah.
Mm.
But it farts out. It's like, it was like a shitty 808 to just put it out. Like,
yeah, so I wonder.
What did the Discord say?
People were agreeing yesterday, and Sarah Crow says, yeah, just a smidge. SoCalBat2, Ethan, yes.
So,
no.
So I, I think when I saw that moment, I had the conscious thought of, is this just trickery? I feel like Shin's reaction to it was genuinely, she's still a Padawan technically, right? She's still learning. What was genuinely like just a defensive flinch, as when you're fighting, you know, when you're training with other Force users,
yeah,
you know, when that motion happens, that you're going to get thrown, your ass is getting thrown against a wall, or
yeah,
or your lightsaber is getting taken out of your hand, or whatever it's going to be. So she just kind of flinched. And then there was obviously a dramatic beat, which was really effective, where she realized, you have no power. It's her line.
It's a distraction.
But then no.
Or she took the hit and was like, that wasn't shit.
Well, yeah. Either way, I was going to get to the point that when I think my initial thought was that Sabine was maybe it was like a fake out, because to your point, Mike, she's Mandalorian. They weapons and trickery and, you know, in combat are their tools, right? And so, but I on the bit I rewatched today, I can't remember the order. Maybe I did see the Merrick death when I rewatched today. Maybe I got through the lightsaber fights. I'm not sure, but I think I rewatched enough to see the scene where she does that. And I would say I'm on the second viewing. I do believe that she, at the very least, thought she was using the Force, or, you know, she was genuinely attempting to use the Force, that it wasn't just like a gimmick. I didn't notice the sound, but just watching the performance, I think you can see it on her face that,
yeah,
she was trying to move the cup.
Right. Right. All right. I mean, we'll see. But going back to Ahsoka real quick, in the fight with Baylan after, you know, the moment where she thinks Sabine is dead because Shin shows up, right?
Right.
She gets like really emotional for a second. Like, and all of this is, I think it's just the culmination of what we were talking about before, of her overcorrecting, right? When she throws Shin against that rock,
yeah,
she's super angry. Yep. So she's like potentially, and Alex from Star Wars Explained is saying the same thing, tapping into the dark side at that moment. And that's what threw her off balance. It was that anger. That's what ultimately led her to lose to Baylan. You guys get that vibe? Or is this like
off
like,
balance?
Or is this like an overanalyzation?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. And I think one of the things about Ahsoka is the fact that she has historically given in to those temptations at times. It makes me think of the scene in the temple when Anakin appears behind her and then turns into Vader, and she screams, no. You know, like that's uncharacteristic of a trained Jedi to have that level of emotion, right? I mean, look at Qui-Gon's death versus Obi-Wan's reaction to it, right?
I mean,
Obi-Wan's death versus Luke's reaction to it. There's a through line there. There's a screaming of the word no. Yeah. I mean, Obi-Wan did, Luke did, you know, she's showed the tendency to give in to her anger and fear because she never finished her training. I think that's really important to this story. Ahsoka walked away for the right reasons, but she did not finish her training and she did not become a Jedi Knight. You know, she was not, never a Jedi master. She didn't master the art. And right. So you're getting this raw, uncut Force user, even though she's learned what she's learned. And obviously she's hardened by like all the experiences she's had and is a Force for good. But I absolutely think that entire thing was a fit of rage. You know,
sure.
All you need was Palpatine standing next to her going, good.
Yeah.
It was like that. She was, yes, she was angry. I mean, it was all anger.
What if also, just like, you know, a version of what happened in the Mortis arc, what if grabbing that map, which was being held up by a dark spell, infused her with some of that dark energy?
Sure.
And that kind of, I don't know, pushed the snowball.
Interesting. I mean, also her master was, I'm talking about a person who like used emotion and encouraged her to do that. I mean,
that's the thing, right, Mike? Like that's, she didn't finish her training, but what training she got was from someone who ultimately gave in to the dark side completely. So right. I think she's kind of set up for failure as far as being a pure, you know, true practicing Jedi. It's just never going to happen.
And adding her. Obi and adding Obi-Wan with that too, right? Like Obi-Wan is the one who's like your classical Jedi at the time, who's always telling Anakin, you're emotional, you're reacting. Anakin teaching Ahsoka, the Jedi are not perfect. They don't do things right all the time. You have to be able to trust yourself. Him going, I'm emotional, I'm in love, I'm doing all these things wrong, but he's telling her, like, you know, how are we going to alter the course of the Jedi? She still takes all that with her for sure. And then to know that, you know, if she was to turn off her emotion completely, how is that able to make her go up against her adversary, which is her old master? Because the first thing he says in Rebels, right? Revenge is not the Jedi way, right?
Yeah.
And all, you know, he's using her, he's trying to screw up her emotions to get her off balance. And that's because he's like, I taught you how to be emotional.
Yeah.
In this. I mean, it's God, Filoni.
Yeah.
Praise be. Praise be to him.
Praise be.
Okay. I'll skip this one about Sabine. Okay, with the map destroyed, no hyperspace ring, I had this panic moment, like, oh my God, what happens now? How do they get there? My brain immediately went to the world between worlds. That's the only way they're going to get to this other galaxy. But the thing I didn't think about, which is the more obvious solution, is it's going to be the Purgil that helped them get there, because they know where it is. You know, they took Ezra and Thrawn there in the first place. Or is it going to be the world between worlds? What do you guys think?
We have to go to this galaxy. This right. has to be the door opening to, whether it's only for this story, I strongly believe it is not. I think we're opening up a whole new highway, of storytelling opportunities for Star Wars in general by saying there's another galaxy in the universe at this time that is sustaining life, right? But as far as how we get there, I think it's funny, Adam, because I think both options are such cool B-sides. You know, there's such cool deep cuts in Star Wars lore that it's like, do I care? I don't really care which one, right? Like, if we figure out a way for them to, like, bond with the Purgil and go, you know, or, dude, this just came in my brain and, I'm speculating.
There he is.
We did finally get the ghost introduced into live action.
Mm-hmm.
The Star Destroyer was taken there physically by the Purgil. What a moment. Here you go. What if some of them go via ghost Purgil and Ahsoka gets there through the World Between Worlds and meets them there?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Both.
So you get both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the Purgil thing checks out. I mean, I think the fact that we've already seen them above Cetos.
Taking the ghost, right? It would just be amazing.
It would be awesome.
It would be like a hands in the air moment for us.
To have Ezra be able to tell the Purgil to go get my friends and come back here would be incredible. I think the World Between Worlds and why it's important is, you remember back when the World Between Worlds serves almost as, and I know that there's definitions of like what it is, and Filoni's talked about it, but in some ways it almost gives you views into realities that were not your own, right? Or alternate endings or whatever, right? So I think what's going to happen is that Anakin coming back, pulling her in, being fully formed, not being a Force ghost, right? I think is actually more the Force going to show her that her destiny arrives all the same, right? I'm quoting a different franchise here. But we are going to, when Ezra was tempted with the World Between Worlds, Palpatine goes, imagine if you were just with your family. And he showed Ezra with the thing that he wanted most, which was to find his parents again, right? To remember what that was like to be with them, even though he knew that they were gone. And Palpatine put that in there so that he would go into it, and that would be one problem less that Palpatine has to worry about. So I think next week we're actually going to see these ideas that Ahsoka in her life could have gone back and made different choices. And the idea is actually like, I don't trust actually Anakin Skywalker being in there. I think there's something.
Oh yeah. Same.
There is something very, there's a reason the score ended with Vader's theme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whether this is.
Hashtag more to come on that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get there. But anyways, I'm just saying the World Between Worlds is not going to, I don't think it's going to serve her as a means of transportation somewhere. I think it's going to serve her as her ability, almost like her training, to remember that what she is going to go through is going to remind her that she was actually everything. All the trials and tribulations she's gone through is actually pointing her exactly where she already is.
Well, then, with that said, Mike, do you think that Anakin's actually standing there? Or do you think it's similar to what Palpatine showed Ezra? And the reason I ask is...
That's what I'm worried about.
The reason I ask is that Ezra saw them, but it was like a, it was like an acid trip vision of them. It wasn't them standing there saying, "Hello, son." Mm-hmm. You know, it was a vision created by Palpatine because he had that piece of the temple that had the power to create that, because that temple was one of the gateways to the world between worlds, right? So that's why he took that piece of it, so he could harness that power.
Right.
And use it himself, go in and out of the world between worlds. So, I wonder if it's actually Anakin. I feel like it is, but clearly the music and knowing that Palpatine has already harnessed this thing, he knows how to use it.
Right.
He knows how to reach into it.
Right.
And you know, alter the course of things, and or at least try to. So, I don't know. Luke saw Vader in the cave, you know, I mean, it's,
yes. Yeah.
Anything is possible. I think, especially in a supernatural state or, you know, environment like the world between worlds.
Right. Right.
Either way, we're going to get the answer and it's going to be freaking sick. And it's all planned out. And I have no doubt of that now. I have no, there is nothing in my mind that's like, well, how are they going to get out of this bucket of syrup and explain it? It's ready to go.
Yeah.
It's already on deck.
There's another subtle clue. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe this is overinterpretation. We'll talk about it later in the den. But shout out to MC Rocco in the Discord, who had just jogged my memory, a thing that I was thinking earlier. I'm just going to say this and you guys can say yes or no. And we got to move on. I'm wondering if the discrepancy between the scene that they recreated from Rebels, where Ahsoka shows up and she and Sabine go get in the ship. Sabine's got her armor on when they first go to start this mission, right? Ahsoka's wearing the gray poncho, whatever, not the big white robe with the staff, right? We're all thinking, okay, this is just a stylistic choice. Or, you know, it's an adaptation, whatever. What if, via the World Between Worlds, she reboots this entire thing? Hmm. And we see that scene again. And after going through all this, she starts over and she's since learned. And we see the scene again and she's in the white robe with the staff.
But we already know the First Order happens. It's like, what is she rebooting to accomplish? The war happens. The dark forces prevail at the end of her arc.
I don't know. You know?
I'm with you on that, because I think the World Between Worlds is referred to as, I think, sliding doors or closed loop. I don't think the World Between Worlds is like a butterfly effect thing. And I think we're going to see more on that next week, where alternate realities could, you basically are getting a version of you being able to observe or feel like you're participating in what could have been. But I think, again, the path of a Jedi is not to go back and almost think about it this way. Revenge is not the Jedi way. If Obi-Wan was to go through the World Between Worlds and actually killed Maul and let Qui-Gon live, he's getting revenge. Qui-Gon was supposed to be gone, as you know what I mean?
Right. Yes, but let me present this. Ezra reached through and pulled Ahsoka out. He altered the situation.
You're right.
Yep.
But we can get into, we don't have time to, but we could get into a full blown amazing conversation about time travel and the idea that if it's a closed loop, that's a great way to put it, Mike.
Right.
That means that everything happens exactly the way it's happened.
All is as the Force wills it.
If no one is able to go back and stop Ezra from taking her out of that situation, and it only happens the one time,
mm-hmm.
then it happens every time.
Right.
So it's the destiny. Idea that Ahsoka could go through to reboot, I think my answer is no, because I don't think that would have already happened, right? In a closed loop time-space continuum, she's already gone through and rebooted it.
Sure.
Like at some point.
Ezra pulls Ahsoka Tano out, but that makes Anakin Skywalker go in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, like, the idea of the quantum physics behind the time-space continuum, that you can't change anything.
Right.
Even though Ezra changed something.
Right.
He did it the one time it actually happened, and it can't ever be undone. Ahsoka has never gone into reboot, or it already would have happened. It can't happen here. You know,
I mean, like, not necessarily. Like, she could go do it, and it could be a destiny thing. I mean, it's all paradoxical anyway.
Sure.
Like, she.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the first time that she does it? Is it now?
She could go do it again, but it still happens the same way, like kind of Terminator style, like Judgment Day will happen regardless.
There you go. And it ends up right back where it is. I just don't know if we'll see the white.
Yeah.
Robe.
God, I would love to.
I think because they settled on the costume for Rosario Dawson being the gray and the blue and stuff, that's just what they had to go with.
Yeah.
Personally,
I wish I could have my bingo card back, because I think we're going to see that white robe, and it's going to be majestic.
I don't know that we're not going to see it ever, but I don't know if we're going to see it in the moment that we've already seen, that was the exact scene from Rebels, not in the white robe. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm not sure.
Dang.
And would probably lean towards no.
Isn't it crazy? Like, Star Wars is just some cool looking ships and laser swords, and we're talking about something, buddies.
We're talking about ripples in space and time, dude. It
must be this Afrin. All right.
let's move on, because we're going way long. Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
It is the Darksaber.
Torgon. Togosh.
It's a Kalikori.
A Sith Wayfinder.
Dark science. Cloning. Secrets only the Sith knew.
Mike, you want to sub in for Nick in this Den of Antiquities sesh here?
You know, I can do that, Adam, and I will try to do Nicky Bumfinger the utmost honor.
So proud of you.
So let's talk about the Den of Antiquities. This one was rich. It's deep. It certainly would make you dive into it. You don't even have to shy away from it. You dove right into it. One of the X-Wing pilots that accompanies Hera and the Ghost is played by Armor Party guest and a massive Star Wars fan, and probably one of the coolest, most down-to-earth dudes, the grandson of John Wayne, Brendan Wayne, who you know as the guy who spends most of the time in the suit of Din Djarin, the Mandalorian.
Yes, sir.
So, Brendan Wayne.
It's so cool for him.
It's amazing. And I was waiting for him to say a line, but I think, I assume that he's technically SAG, but Ryan, you probably know better than I. If you say something on screen, it puts you in a different category, right?
It definitely puts you in a different income status.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is calculated by screen time and lines and name and credit, you know?
Sure. I bet
he had lines. I bet they shot lines, and they it didn't make sense for it to be.
Sure.
I don't think it was a money thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, you know, is what I mean? Like, there's no way they didn't have him in the cockpit and go, okay, say, you know, copy that. Say, right. You know, they did that stuff. I'm sure they didn't put it in.
This puts Brendan Wayne into that growing list of people who have played multiple characters, you know, Jeremy Bullock being Boba Fett. Also a pilot in the Clone Wars. It's awesome. So congratulations, Brendan, for letting his face be seen. And he's got I love his helmet. I got to get some more shots of that.
You're saying that two of your friends have, like, your friends that you can talk to. You can just text them, say, what's up, man? How you doing? We're in this show.
Well, I mean, you know,
That's crazy.
I mean, the friends of the pods, you guys.
I know, but you know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's crazy that two people we know at that degree of separation, which is none, are we're in two so far in 50% of Ahsoka.
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so far we're doing pretty good.
Wife is cool.
Another one of the X-Wing pilots is Dong Dininger, and she's one of the prop special effects makeup wardrobe fabricator who she worked for Legacy Effects. She's also worked for Stan Winston Studios, a ton of different shows. And then she, I believe, was the Roidian that has basically, for people who are like, what's a Roidian? It's basically Greedo.
Yeah.
So pretty awesome. Dawn has, I believe she's played a Roidian already in Mando or Book of Boba Fett, I believe. But then there's also Pam Riddlework, who's also been one of the Roidians too. So, I mean, regardless, they're throwing in their friends. I'd like to be a friend. I feel like I'm ready. My helmet's back there. Just put me in.
As soon as you get rid of that sniffle.
Whole conversation with Filoni at the airport about us being in the show. It's fine. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it.
Put me in, coach.
I'm on it.
I'm ready.
I'm on it.
I'm ready.
I am all over it, Mike.
Yeah, which I actually think would be a lot harder than you'd think to not, you know what I mean? Like, you think about the process of, like, the not talking like a, oh, yeah, we're going to go blast them out of the sky. Like, they don't talk like that because they're trying to emulate fighter pilots that are always like, you have to stay calm. Let's go ahead. Look at the size of that thing. You know what I mean? Like, that actually be harder than I think.
Say, Dave, if you're listening or watching this right now, it would not be hard for me. I would absolutely nail it. I am ready to go.
He's ready. Put him in. One of the pilots has a helmet that's got the same circular pattern that's got the different sizes of the radiuses as Theron Nett, who is Red 10 from the original trilogy. Unfortunately, both of them met their fate in a fiery explosion. So note to cosplayers out there, if you build that helmet, it's probably bad luck. Let's just say that.
Hey, let me get you here.
Yep, we're good.
Let me show you that.
Oh, you're going to pull that up?
I was talking to Jason Chiodo about this earlier.
Ooh! Look at that.
There it is. That's the symbol right there between the two.
Look at this. See, this is a visual podcast.
Here's a little closer look at the helmet that a maker made. This is not a Star Wars backyard. Ah, look at you. Mike with the helmet.
Okay, this looks good. I mean, I like this.
Go on to the next one. I got visuals all day.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. So maybe I'll do the rest of the Den of Antiquities like this because I can't hear you guys, which is fine. So let's go, let's get into the details, which is Ahsoka versus Bail in their lightsaber forms. Now, for all of us nerds who are really into this stuff, from the OG Revanite in Discord, one of our patrons, said that through the Jedi Path manual book, which they released that series, I think there's a Bounty Hunter Code, Secrets of the Sith, Jedi Path, and even the Knights of the Old Republic games, Balin uses form 4, which is Ataru. His style of lightsaber is what I believe is called a claymore. Super, is that what a kind of sword? Ryan, back me up on your.
He has that sort of old English broadsword,
yeah.
Two-handed method. So one of the time you see that in this episode, he really very deliberately holds it like this with his hands kind of far apart.
Right.
But then when Sabine comes down to the temple or the shrine or whatever we're calling that where right, the map right. is, and she's just like pew pewing the way he's like doop doop doop, doop, no action,
yeah.
no like fluidity, just very medieval in his sword, you know, sword style.
Just like the hallway in episode one.
I'm not sure if it's what you said when you asked me that, if I knew, but I did immediately notice that it was like a very knight medieval style two-handed broadsword, because those big like swinging broadswords, those things are heavy as shit. They yeah. weigh, you know, I don't even know, 75 pounds, like 80 pounds. They're huge, so you can't have any kind of delicate swordplay. It's really about brute force,
right. Yeah.
And that's definitely his vibe. I mean, look at him.
Right.
Look at the man.
Right. Where Shin is more like katana is, I think it's us. So it's one of the most advanced saber forms. It focuses on aerobatics and fast paced attacks. It's meant for single opponent combat, and it's meant to end an opponent quickly, as in no swashbuckling, straight to just right through you. Right.
Yeah.
So none of this. It's Yoda and Qui-Gon were known practitioners of this form. Yoda was?
It's interesting because I don't doubt that this is, I mean, that this is accurate.
I can see Yoda doing that, though.
But there's certainly, correct me if I'm wrong, there weren't really any acrobatics or that kind of thing involved in the way he was fighting.
He had a couple moves, but it was like very... Like,
but I'm just saying, when I think of acrobatics, if that's what it says in the, description, in the encyclopedia, yeah. Like he wasn't like...
He did almost like an aerial once. There was like one sick spin move. But the rest was like very calculated. It's almost like, you know, you got a couple moves, like it says, meant to end an opponent quickly. But he's up against Ahsoka, which, Mike, you're about to talk here. So I'm sure that like any you know, give and take of a fight, you got to work with what you're defending against. Right.
I just kind of feel like an idiot because I didn't read it that far ahead in the notes. And I was like, yeah, so it's just two-handed broadsword brute force. He doesn't really do anything. And the first thing is it focuses on acrobatics. I'm like, oh, well, I guess.
But he did have that vibe. I was trying to articulate this yesterday. It felt very like medieval, old English, like you're saying.
Yeah.
In the way that the original trilogy did. I'm thinking like Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi. There was lots of acrobatics, but it was very classical style.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right. So Ahsoka uses Form 5, specifically the Demso variant. Is that how you pronounce it?
I believe you.
Let's try it.
Be Gemso.
Gemso?
Like Jaren, Den Jaren. Gemso.
Nice, dude. I like it. Is a form that focuses on aggressive counterattacks, which certainly I also loved. Let's shout this out. Ahsoka using, like, almost preferring the single blade.
Yeah, in this whole fight, one blade.
Super sick. And I love that the new Fallen Order game gives you the option to be able to do that as well. Like, that's rad.
Yeah.
It's the most basic of lightsaber forms. We're not saying Ahsoka's basic, but certainly sometimes if we get down to it and saying it's a basic form,
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly right. It's meant to teach the basics of lightsaber usage, which I would say she's figured it out. So thank you very much. And she may have been trying to toy with Baylan or test him, feel it out, maybe trying to see if he had any issues with pride, which is usually a thing that the Sith are all good and soaked up with.
Oh, you missed something here. So hold on. So Form 5 was the first one with the aggressive counterattacks, but then she switches to her own variation of Form 1, Shicho.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the basic one. And that has that samurai stuff in it when she switches,
right? Oh,
yeah,
got it. Which is the two.
I talked about week one. I talked about how I was like, isn't Ahsoka's classic thing to have to be backhanded? And I feel like, and I watched the first episode a second time, and it's definitely not happening. Like when she's fighting those hunter killers, she's just holding them like this and fighting. This episode, dude, when she was fighting Merrick, she whips it up and like slowly turns it backhand. And I was like,
there she is.
It's Obi-Wan versus Maul style. She's feeling out the thing. She's playing her hand and trying to watch his poker face, you know, for clues,
which I love that. And there was a lot of that, like classic samurai assess the competition, move in the circle. It's everything about it was fantastic. So one of our Discord members, OG Revanite's interpretation of it is that Baylan is all business. He's not there to mess around. I completely agree with that. And indicates that he was more than a Jedi Knight, perhaps a former Jedi Master, which would make sense. Bring on a new apprentice, whatever happened to his old apprentice. We need to hear more about this. So let's go ahead and keep watching. Sabine carries two Westar 35 blasters, which is a common Mandalorian blaster. And also, like, shout out to the props department, Marcus Nepari and Judah Escalante, and all the guys who are working on this because, they actually open up and she puts the cartridge in. Let's go.
There it is on screen.
So sick. Everything about it.
Images via Jason Chiodo's Instagram, by the way.
The props to see this, like, in a practical sense. The Westars always kind of have, like, they originally from Clone Wars were, like, kind of boxy. They almost looked, like, kind of chunky, you know what I mean? Same with, like, the clone pistols are almost look just, like, low polygon renders. But this...
Clone pistols look like the mouse droids. Like a mouse droid in your hand.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and they were pretty chunky because the reality of them, you know, the show was fairly lo-fi compared to what we got in season 7. And Rebels was even a more simplistic form of that. So the Wii Star has always been kind of one of those blasters. And they were in Clone Wars, and we have that, you know, Jango Fett's pistols are in my opinion hilarious, but this was on a whole nother level. I thought this was amazing. She cocks it back. It's the first time we've ever seen that in Star Wars. I think that we've seen Din, you know, empty out cartridges when he has to go and, you know, take the ferry. So it's not the first time that we've seen like how ammo is actually used in blasters, but this was certainly one of those things where it was like, oh, okay, we're deepening the lore of Star Wars weaponry, which is rad. So we've got a little bit of speculation. Are we talking about this? I feel like this is a juicy bit. Adam,
let's do it.
Please, because I need you guys to teach me what you think about this.
I went down the rabbit hole with Jason Chiodo earlier on this as well, because he's our resident lightsaber expert. Yeah. New Hope Workshop. Hit him up on Instagram.
Yeah. So as we pointed out, we're looking at Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber. Now, if you are following along with this podcast, you know that there's a couple different versions of Anakin's Padawan lightsaber. He loses his lightsaber after he loses his hand in the Clone Wars, and then he gets a new saber, which ends up turning into Luke's. So there's a couple different versions that are present here, but what we noticed in this one particularly is how bright the component is that holds the body, the screw, what would have been the flash handle, and this particular part, it's very bright, which lets us know that this saber, as it's on his hip in the World Between Worlds, it looks like his Graflex, which the Graflex is a specific type of flash handle that they use. That was for that's the way that they refer to it, because it literally says Graflex on the bottom of it.
It's the brand of the...
It's the brand of the flash handle.
The real world camera component.
Component part.
That they built it out of, yeah.
So it looks like his Graflex from Revenge of the Sith, but it almost looks like it's painted black. It's dark. Now, this could have been something where, like, Star Wars fans are going, you know, they said, we just don't want it to look flashy on his belt. We want it to kind of have, like, the mood. That could be very well be true. But Filoni is not the kind of guy to mess up something like lightsabers, because in the flashback of Obi-Wan, Anakin had his proper saber.
Which is this.
Which is that.
He told me all about this when he held my lightsaber at the airport when we hung out, you know?
This is never going to end, and I love it.
Yeah, and this is good. This is an ongoing conversation of Dave Filoni, which is great. I'm glad you got to experience it, Ryan. I'm glad you haven't left anything out.
So look at these real quick. The defining characteristics of this version of the saber. So this is the Episode 3 version. I had the Master Replicas version of this when it came out. It has notably this...
Cover tech wheel,
which is the way it attaches to the clip on the belt rather yep. than at the bottom of the pommel.
I mean, we're on YouTube. Let's bring this up. Let's look at it.
Oh, you got it right there. Yeah. Okay. So there would be a D-ring at the end for the original trilogy, but this little thing right here, it's a disc for anyone who's just listening. Yeah. So there's the D-ring that Mike has, hangs from the belt, old school. This thing, it slips in. It's almost like a cop would have something on his belt with this kind of thing, right?
Snaps in, snaps out.
Exactly.
So this is the Graflex, and the reason we call it that is because you can see.
Yeah, it literally says Graflex right there.
Graflex New York, and this was literally when it's in the snow in Empire.
Yep.
And it's sitting there, and it starts doing this.
Yep, shaking.
It still says New York on it, so yeah. New York is canon. See you at Mos Eisley. So, I mean, I think what's interesting about this is,
but hold on.
Oh, you're still going. I love it.
A few parts. This one right here that I have highlighted.
Uh-huh.
This is a clamp in the actual camera that like holds the thing in place. Mike's is different because this is the different version, original trilogy version. There's this like diamond grippy kind of portion on
yeah.
the middle.
Yeah, it's like knurled. Yep.
Yeah, it's really, really reflective, which makes sense here why this would be reflective. But it's not that much more reflective. Like, look how chrome all the rest of this is. There's also this bronze button here, which yeah, we can see pretty clearly here.
The glass eye.
Dude, it's definitely black.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it almost looks as if there's no silver in the Graflex handle.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
the whole thing is just
dark.
And Jason's
murdered out.
Well, what if it's just the shadow here, which I would agree with. if this part wasn't so reflective. Like, if this is going to reflect light this way,
the whole thing is going to show.
The whole thing will. And if it was all black, this would look black too. Or if it was all in shadow, this would be, you know what I mean?
Something's so going on here.
It's weird, man. It's weird.
It almost looks like at the bottom. Let's take a look at that. Okay, it's got the rabbit. It's got the rabbit ears.
It looks like crinkled a little bit, right?
It does. It looks like the end is like fried, like Kylo Ren's. Like,
yes, exactly. I saw the exact same thing.
The butt of Cal's lightsaber, how it's all the kind of wires and stuff are sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I mean,
it's tough. I mean, this is zoomed way in. I brightened the hell out of it in Photoshop. So I mean, we don't get a real solid look at it, but it does not look chrome to me. It doesn't even look.
Will, when they fight next week.
There's something going on, people. There's something going on here. So shout out to our resident lightsaber expert. We're very grateful for Jason's complete, absolute sheer insanity when it comes to knowing the differences between lightsabers, but also like knowing the parts. He's like by far my best resource for being like, all right, explain this to me. So Jason's been a huge help. He's done a ton of builds for us. So if you're looking for lightsabers, looking for a builder, you want to make custom lightsabers.
I'm the proud owner of 4 modified lightsabers from him.
From New Hope Workshop, which is amazing. So check him out on Instagram. We share his stuff all the time. But he's been he loves this stuff. He can't get enough of it. We'll see him on the Star Cruiser. He's with us. So maybe we should all bring a lightsaber because why not? So we've got that, and I think really for the juicy stuff, I mean, we could get into some other things that are, you know, I think overall less important, but this was supposed
we're
to be short.
Hour. Yeah. Yeah.
This way you can't have Ryan and I on the show anymore.
All supposed to be short.
Yeah. We did such a great job last week.
Yep.
It only took 1 week to completely blow the whole entire system.
This is the
way. We could do I Love You, I Know, but I don't know.
Same thing. Yeah. I mean, if you choose something different this week, you're doing it just to be like, well, let's not all pick the same thing. And you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to pick the same thing.
Let's just say, number one, Rosario is just killing it. It's like she has a TV next to a mirror and she's watching
Clone Wars,
animated Ahsoka's face and just learning all of the faces, the way she purses her lips, the way she turns the wide-eyed look over the shoulder, like everything. She's just absolutely killing it. And the look of surprise when she hears Anakin's voice, I have goosebumps everywhere in my whole body. Dude, I cry every time I watch it. I've watched it 5 times now.
This is the way.
In 24 hours. And it's, God, it's great. It's just great. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. All right, we're going to get out of here. If you've been watching YouTube, subscribe. Like, do all the things that people tell you to do. I don't want to say the words because I feel like a dork. Patrons, thanks for being here with us. We appreciate you. Jason, thanks for all of the insight. Next week, Nick and I will be together. We might do a live watch party.
Whoa.
We got to figure out how to do that. I'll be on his bus like right before they play. So I don't know. It would be awesome to do a live watch party, but we're going to do the reaction right after. Who knows about the time? Because I might have to bail back to my house to do it. I can't imagine it'll work at the venue, but either way, it's going to be a big one next week. We should do some special stuff.
So we are planning on watching it next week. We shouldn't sit next week out.
I think I'm going to watch the show. Yeah.
The thing for me is I have to try to remember, you know, I've got to set alerts on my phone.
I'm actually very grateful for that recap at the beginning. And I never hit skip recap as if I wasn't fawning over exactly what had happened in previously.
There's just so much to keep track of with, you know, new episodes of Real Housewives and stuff. I just, you know.
I know, it is. It's hard.
Vanderpump, dude. It's just killing me. I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, I know. Ah, God, this show. Let's keep it
Dave Filoni directing next week. Our boy Henry will be watching in a theater. You got tickets somewhere, apparently.
Stoked for you.
Congratulations, my man.
NATO Potato also got Chicago. I mean, we got patrons covered. Seeing it in on the big screen. Now, it also does say that Star Wars is feeling very good about what this episode is going to do, because this idea that you're bringing this, let's bring everybody into this theater to watch a 45-minute episode. It means
something unbelievable is going to happen. It has to be.
Yeah.
And you know, we've talked about the idea that there have been so many moments in the Disney Filoni era of Star Wars where they do just give you what you want. They just go for it. They're yep. just, what is the most nerd porn ultimate moment that everyone wants to see? Okay, we're going to do that. Mm. Yep. You're not going to know when we're going to do it, but we're going to, I mean, they just did this week. That's it, like, if you are like us and you've watched it all, seeing live action Anakin and Ahsoka on screen together is...
Hey, Snips.
It's like, what can they do next week? What could be gnarlier than that?
Best Star Wars fan films of all time.
We'll see you on Mustafar.
Or we'll see you at another time.
All right, dudes. Love you. Thanks for hanging. Everybody, thanks for listening. And until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.